Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Listen now for God's message to you in the reading of these words. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than me is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
I want to share a story with you that I had not planned on sharing, but Jeff's time with the children reminded me of a time a long time ago, way before the internet. An uncle of mine got a phone call one day, and it was a child's voice asking to speak to someone, and my uncle says, "Well, I'm sorry, you've got the wrong number." And the child says, "Well, who is this?" And my uncle, who was a kind of a jovial, practical joker kind of guy, he said, "Well, this is Santa Claus." And the child said, "Oh, Santa Claus?" And he said, "Well, yes. What would you like for Christmas?" And he had this long conversation with the child. Well, to make a long story short, over the next 2 weeks, my uncle's phone rang off the hook. That was the real internet working there. Yeah. So when he said something about texting the Santa, it reminded me of that story. As many of you know, we are still in the process of moving. For the last month, Peg and I have been moving from the condo that we've been leasing into a house. And as I wrote this past week in my blog, moving 2 miles is often a lot harder than moving across country, because it usually involves a whole lot of little loads compared to one big load. But either way, a certain amount of preparation is required. We gathered boxes. By the way, if anybody needs any moving boxes, let us know. Packing paper, tape. We packed the boxes as we packed them. We labeled them so we knew what was in them and where they would go at the other end of the move. We made arrangements for all the transfer of utilities. We hired some movers and set a date to move all the big furniture. And for several weeks, we had a personal plan that we never went down the stairs without carrying something. And we never made a trip toward the new house without taking something with us and dropping it off. And by following all of that, we did pretty good. For the most part, we were organized and consistent with our plan, even though there were a few flukes along the way, as there usually are in those kind of things. But it all went well because we made good preparations. And the scripture reading this morning that we heard from the Gospel of Matthew is about preparation. In the biblical story, John the Baptist is the one who prepares the way for Jesus. And John's preparation is not necessarily a physical one, but rather mental and spiritual preparation. Preparation of mind and heart. He begins by saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Preparation begins with repentance. And repent is one of those religious words that has had numerous connotations through the years. I would venture to say that many of us associate it and use it with a fire and brimstone kind of zeal, because that's understandable, especially in the context of this story that we read. John's a pretty fiery preacher, and he doesn't mince words. But the Greek word here for repent actually means, the root of the word actually means just to turn around, to turn, to change perspectives. It means to change your mind, but not just intellectual assent to something. It means a change of attitude, a change of heart. So the preparation for Jesus begins with a change of heart, a change of attitude. It requires a change of perspective so that we see a different way of living. A way of living that John and Jesus both call the kingdom of heaven. It's very interesting that when Jesus begins his public ministry, as we like to call it, the very first thing he says is, "Repent." So John tells us that we need to prepare for Jesus by repenting. He sets the stage and the tone for Jesus by using the prophet Isaiah's words. This passage that he quotes about preparing the way in the wilderness, all of this comes straight out of Isaiah. And this was also a call by Isaiah to the people of his time to radical change. This call to repentance is not just for individuals, even though individuals come out to see John, but it is for institutions of his day. John's and eventually Jesus' most harsh words throughout the gospel story are critical words for the religious and government leaders of their day. Here in this passage, he calls them a brood of vipers who use their religious ancestry and their governmental authority to accumulate and oppressively wield power and wealth. He foreshadows one of Jesus' central teachings by telling these leaders to bear fruit worthy of repentance. Jesus says that we recognize the kingdom of heaven by the fruit, by the results, by the evidence. We can claim anything we want to. We can say anything we want to. We can claim to believe all the right things. Go to church or synagogue or mosque or temple every week. But unless our lives and our institutions bear fruit of justice, mercy, compassion, and love, John tells us we may as well be stones on the ground. As a matter of fact, Jesus later on says, if we don't live this way, the stones will. We are called to bear fruit. A disturbing shift has been taking place in the public square over the past few years and seems to have intensified more recently and becoming more ensconced in our culture. Just last week, there was a CNN news commentator being interviewed on another media program on NPR, and this person stated something that is actually kind of mind-boggling. She said, there are no facts anymore. This is a news reporter. There are no facts anymore. And she went on to basically describe current reality that anyone can say anything they want. And if people believe it, then it's factual, even if only to them. If we say blue is red long enough, and enough people believe and agree that it's red, then according to this line of thinking, at least for those people, blue is red. Now, I want to suggest to you this morning that there is some truth in this. We do create reality through our perceptions and actions. We see it happening in our culture today. And I think this is exactly what John and Jesus mean when they say, repent. Changing our minds and hearts changes our lives and changes our world. And the question for us as Christians then becomes, are we thinking, feeling, and seeing the world Jesus calls us to think, feel, and see? If not, then it is our calling, our responsibility to change. Not only for ourselves, but our institutions, so that they bear fruit of justice, mercy, kindness, humility, compassion, and love. These are the fruit of the gospel. John's words of warning are foreboding. He says, every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Now, Jesus put it a bit more gently by saying, we reap what we sow. And that is what the preparation is, the sowing. We prepare for Jesus by sowing the seeds of the kingdom. In order for the kingdom of heaven to come, we must prepare the way by sowing seeds that bear worthy fruit. Now, repentance also includes listening and watching. Listening to and watching the world around us. And calling one another, calling our leaders to the way of Jesus. This is the role of the church in a modern society. The role of the church is to hold culture accountable to the gospel. And we are living in a day and time when repentance is needed. Amen. You know, occasionally a phrase in these closing hymns catches my imagination and leads me in a different direction. We just sang, "Give up your strength, the seed to nourish, that in course the flower may flourish." The nourishment for the seeds of the kingdom comes from us by giving up our strength, by changing, by repenting, by changing the way we think and perceive the world. If we begin to see the world as the presence of God, and if we begin to see one another as the presence of Christ, we are planting seeds of the kingdom. Let us go from this place, my friends, and hear these words from John the Baptist and Jesus and Isaiah. Prepare the way. Amen.